relative to the manifestation of God, not only Psalms, Acts of the Apostle, chapter 17, verse 26 and 27, Hebrews chapter 6, chapter 11 and verse 6, Romans chapter 1, 18 through 21. Let us hear these passages. We're going to need more than one reader. Let us hear these passages. That's right, Acts 17, 26 and 27.
And hath made of one blood.
The Almighty God has made of one blood.
All nations.
All nations. This passage is being shared in reference to the fact that the Almighty God has made his existence known to us by his word. And has made of every nation one blood.
Of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth.
Uh-huh.
And hath determined the times before appointed.
Uh-huh.
And the bounds of their habitation.
Uh-huh.
That they should
seek. All of what verse 26 says. Have as its goal, what verse 27 is saying? That
they should seek the Lord.
That we, having seen the works of God's hand, every move we make, the Almighty God expects us to take it from there. That we should seek the Lord.
If haply they might feel after him and find him.
Y'all here? Men and women were expected to seek God. God gives us the starting point, telling us that he exists and that he's a great God. Look at Romans chapter 1. Verse 18 through 21.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness because that which may be known of God.
Are you listening and reading with us? That which may be known of God. If you say, I have never seen God, I have never met him, I don't know how tall or short or heavy he is. Listen to the passage. That which might be known. Your adverse supposed to be adverse. 19 or 18, brother.
Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them.
That is, whatever you want to know about God, watch here, it is in the works of God. Read on.
Is manifest in them, for God had showed it unto them.
God showed himself to us by his works.
For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are
that
clearly
which
seen.
You cannot see about God because of his glory and radiation. It is seen in that which he has created.
Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead.
God is powerful? Yes! Just look around. God expects us, therefore, from the work that he has shown of himself, for us to take it from there and see him. I have related here already that in things like this, the Almighty God gave us hunger. God didn't have to come and make up the fire. Common sense teaches us to do that. God didn't have to come and cook the food. Common sense teaches that. God didn't have to come and open our mouth. He only gave us hunger. And that we are hungry, we take it from there to make up the fire, cook the food. Same way God shows us that he lives and that he's a great God. We are expected to take it from there and see God. The Almighty God gave us tiredness. Every person gets tired if you work. Are we all there? God didn't have to come and make the bed for us. Are we all there? We make single bed. We make double bed. We make queen size and king size. You know how that comes? Out of tiredness that God gives us. Why then can't we then, same way, all these other things, the Almighty God only give us the starting point, but put enough common sense in us to take it from there. That he has shown us that he lives. God expects us to take it from there and say to us, this is a great God. We need to find out more about him. And he has given us his revelation to do that, ladies and gentlemen. God, the Bible tells us, has given up on some people. And the passage in Romans that we are looking at, and the passage in Thessalonians that we are looking at, and the passage in Numbers 22 that we are looking at, and the passage in the book of 1 Kings 22 also. These are not the only passage. From the beginning of time, the Almighty God in the book of Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. Tells us that he does give up on man. Let us hear the passage, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3.
And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man.
Wait, notice the background out of this. This was the time of building the Ark of Noah. When the Almighty God is about to take steps to destroy man from the face of the earth. You know why? Because of sin and disobedience. And the Almighty God said, my spirit
shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years.
Somebody asked, what does this mean, Brother Mitchell? It is only by the Spirit of the Almighty God that the carnal minded can be transformed and be subdued and subject to the will of God. Only by the Spirit of God. Are we all there? But those who willingly resist and rebel and grieve the Spirit of God, that is the Holy Spirit, they will be left alone. Are we getting it? When you discourage continually the Holy Spirit, there is a point in which the Holy Spirit leaves you alone to travel the road that you want to travel. Why then does the Holy Spirit strive with you to get you on the right track, to trouble your conscience and to help you to respect and live by God's word? Because God has your best interest at heart. But when you show insensitivity to the divine will, then the Almighty God abandons us. Are we all there? No use for further striving. Are we all there? To restrain and improve that man or woman. No use. Because they were past feelings. As the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 19 says, we reach the point where our conscience become deadened to the word of God. And at that time the Holy Spirit will give up on us. My spirit shall not always strive with man. This is the striving of the Holy Spirit to guide us on the right track, to make us become aware that not only that God exists, but God is to be served. So here we have it from the beginning of the Bible. The Almighty God tells us this. The text of Romans, let us hear it again, brother. Romans chapter 1, verse 24 following.
Where God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
What verse is that?
25.
Okay. You may stop there. Read verse 25 again.
Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
Verse 25. Well, it's really verse 21 through 28. Verse 21 tells us that God gave them up. Verse 22 following is telling us why God gave them up. May I? Study with me, brothers and sisters. It is not simply that God remove or withdraw his restraining influence. Now that is negative. In fact, the passage in Genesis, my spirit shall not always strive with man. The idea there is that the striving, the Holy Spirit striving men, helping men and women to be aware through their conscience that there is a God and that there is right and wrong. The passage in Genesis chapter 3 verse 6 is negative. It is telling us that God withdraw his Holy Spirit. But this passage now in Romans take it further. In this passage we see the positive activity of God against certain men and women. It's not only that he withdraws something from some men and women. He did that, but he also take active initiative to make sure that we go the wrong path. Are we out there? So as I said, it's not simply that God removes or withdraw his restraining influence. It is God's active initiative against the sinner, against the sinner who willingly and deliberately disobeyed and rebelled against God's will. There are men and women who sometimes it's like they challenge God. It's like they want to think God out of existence. And it's like they are challenging God, if you really exist, show me, say you exist. And they'll challenge God's word. They'll challenge you, the Christian. When you teach them truth, they laugh it out of existence. Of course, they cannot do that. It's their foolish heart who tell them that they can do that. God gave them up means that you are compelled to continue on the eternally ruinous path. When God gave up on any of us, it means we cannot help but hold on to wrong belief, obey religious falsehood and think it is true, conduct our lives in ways that are ungodly and sinful and think nothing wrong with it. It's not just that we do those things, it's just we cannot help ourselves. Because the restraining influence of the Almighty God is working when has abandoned us, and God takes initiative to work against us. We are compelled. Did I say compelled? Yes. To continue on the eternally ruinous path that we have chosen. May I? Throughout my life, I've seen many occasions where parents, especially fathers, give up on their sons. I've seen it many times. Where a father will have a son, and when the son show inclination of lawlessness, the father did everything. Get counselor for him, and if he's going to the field, he carry the son. If he's doing other trade, he take his son with him. But the boy was just bent, and as the boy get older, he was more bent in doing wrong. Have manners to nobody, respect no law, no rule. And the father tried, and the father tried, until the father gives up on that son. Meaning, the father just decide, you know, me tired. Let him do what he wants to do. The father, you know, being experienced, know the consequences. But then the father take another step, not only giving up on him. The father now take active step to see that he's held accountable. The father go to the police station himself. You see, this is different from giving up on him, you know. Father not just leave him now. The father decides, you know, I'm going to set the law upon him. So the father went to the police station himself and report the crime he has done. When have the gun hidden? And the father said, officer, I will come to courthouse and give evidence. Now that daddy is taking active initiative against his own son. God does that with some of us. He not only abandoned us, but as we show defiance and stubbornness against his will, he takes active initiative against us. Are we all there? Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12. Let us have it.
And with all this
And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness.
In them that
Wait. Unrighteousness deceive. Are you all there? And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness.
In them that perish.
Notice here. You must notice this. The perishing here doesn't mean you're dying of some physical ailment. The perishing here is referring to our eternally and spiritually perishing. In other words, it's looking towards the eternal hell. What, brother?
In them that, because they receive not the love of the truth.
Brothers and sisters, may I? A simple statement like that is profound. We are expected to love God's truth. Are you all there? Any truth that the gospel of Christ teaches, humanity is expected that when you see it and understand it, you will not fight against it. Because you shall know the truth. It is God's truth that he's going to use to guide and save us. In them that perish, that is, they are heading towards hell. You know why? Because they do not love the truth. Read on.
Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved.
Y'all hear that? Read on.
And for this cause.
Y'all got that? For this reason. What reason? Because you don't love God's truth. If I told you this morning that you must be baptized in order to be saved. That is Bible. And it is Bible. And it is Bible from God. That every man must repent and be baptized to be saved. Now let's say you have been conditioned. You have been brainwashed that you don't have to be baptized. Because that is water baptism. Well, whatever water salvation, whatever salvation, if it is from God, that's the salvation that's going to save you and me. Let's say you are shown in the Bible where you can go home and read it. And it is stated in simple English so that you can understand it. But because of your preconditioning, you decided that you do not like that and what, so you reject it. Then, when the Bible talks about you receive not the love of the truth, you are one of the persons the Bible is talking about. Do you get it? I can just go on and go on. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the founder of four different churches. Sorry. I am deceiving you in that. And I'm sorry. That's a lie. Christ is not the founder of four different churches. You know, the Bible teaches us that he's the founder of one true church. In fact, the Bible went further. The Bible shows us that in the same way that there is one true God among the many false gods, the Bible shows that there is one true Holy Spirit among the many so-called evil spirits. The Bible teaches that in the same way there is one true church founded by Christ among the many false churches. Now, if you should say, Mr. Mitchell, I would like you to show me that, then you have a good mind because you want proof, you want the truth, and that is good.
Yeah.
But if you are shown the truth and you shut your Bible in vexation and say, You can say what you want to say, Mr. Mitchell. I know I have my church, I love my church, and I know God going to save people in every one of them. And I take you again and show you that God was not willing to have a Jewish church and a Gentile church. The Bible tells me that. I show you where the Almighty God said he's going to save Jews and Gentile, not only in one, help me here, but in the same one. And I show you that in the Bible. And you shut your Bible in vexation and you walk away. The passage the brother is reading is about you. That since you do not love the truth that God gives you to save you, he's going to give you the falsehood you like, and he's going to give you with a vengeance. He's going to give you a mind that you love the falsehood in a enough way. Read, my brother.
And for this cause.
And for this cause, remember. For this reason. What reason? They do not love the truth. What will God do?
Shall send them strong delusion.
God will send them strong. Strong what?
Delusion.
Mr. Mitchell, the King James, them use them big word there. What does that? The word delusion mean you are deluded. You are a fool. Guzu or obia is work upon you. That's right. Delusion. You are deceived. But notice, it is not ordinary deception. It is
strong.
And when the strong is from God, then it is strong. God shall send them strong delusion.
That they should believe a lie.
You all hear that? Somebody didn't get that. God going to help you to believe a lie? The Holy God? Yes. May I? How can God put in me to believe a lie? You have any problem with that? Let me solve some of them for you. Remember, whatever serves God's purpose, it is right. Amen. Always remember that. This is why when you read passage like 1 Samuel chapter 15, where the Almighty God sent King Saul to kill the suckling, children and breasts. And you may say, how could God send one of his servants to do this? Anything, I mean anything that serves God's purpose, it is right. Always remember that. He shall send them strong delusion to believe a lie.
That
may I? That they might be?
Be damned.
Damned where? In hell. God, yes. Here is it. God operate on the principle here. This is his judicial justice. God is operating on the principle here that you turn from truth, You turn from truth. That is, and instead of going in the direction of truth, you turn to falsehood. You know God's reason there? I give you my truth. I send my people, be it a female or a male child of God, to show you what the Bible says. But you don't like that. You don't want that. You turn from it. The Almighty God says, okay, you don't like truth. You like your falsehood. God said, I will give you falsehood. God operates on that principle. And that is the righteous nature of God. And he gives man When man is defiant against... Wait. Read, brother. And for this cause, God shall send them...
Strong delusion that...
Wait. This means you are compelled to believe religious, moral, and ethical falsehood. Huh? In a few minutes in the list, I'm going to show why men and women have burning passion, insatiable, literally insatiable passion against that which is natural. Because they turn from God's truth. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion to believe a lie. Brother Mitchell, it must mean Satan. No, I gotta go do it. Because you don't like the gospel truth. You like what you like, and what you like is false because it cannot accomplish in you what God wants accomplished. For this reason, God shall send them
strong delusion
to believe
a lie.
To believe what?
A lie.
Read.
That they all might be damned,
uh-huh,
who believe not the truth.
Y'all hear? You see the emphasis on the truth? The emphasis on the truth. This is reference to the gospel truth. Moral truth. Ethical truth. Read on.
But had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's 12.
Thank you, brother. Ladies and gentlemen. This. You love falsehood? God says, I will give you falsehood. You know, ladies and gentlemen, there are men and women who can't accept and be content with what God said or what God gives. You've always had men and women like that. They do not look to God for guidance. They look to their own feelings. What they like, what they want, how they see things. You can never be saved like that. That's why the Bible calls for repentance. Repentance means we will give up our ways and respect God enough to know that the direction that God gives is right. May I? Once men and women have consciously, willingly, and deliberately put God and His will aside and chose the rebellious path, they have entered the downward spiral. And God Himself will see to it that they go all the way to the end of the road they have deliberately chosen. Once you or I have consciously, willingly, and deliberately put God and His will one side for what we like, once we have done that, we have entered the downward spiral. That is, we have entered the slippery slope. And the Almighty God Himself will see that any of us who does that, we go all the way to the end of the road that we have deliberately chosen. Backsliding, we Christian take note here. If you're a backsliding Christian, if you're a Christian who grows, who you are in between, you are neither hot nor cold, it's important that you realize that you might be heading closer and closer to the downward spiral. Truly, truly. The passage coming up from the book of Hebrews is on that very point. Take special note You know, in Brother Simit's prayer, he mentioned the fact that there are some Christians who they are in worship now and again. And you know what? It doesn't trouble their conscience. It never dawned on them that God expects his people to put worshiping time aside. You are going to see in this lesson, when worshiping of God is thrown one side, all sort of spiritual wrong things happen. The book of Romans that we are at now going to point this out. When it talks about that they fail to honor God, and when it talks about they worship the creature rather than the creator, it's on that very point. Worship is important to the preservation of our relationship with God. Where were we, brother? Hebrews. And the fact that once we have deliberately and consciously and willingly rejected God's path and chose our own, we have entered the downward spiral. I encourage weak, backsliding Christian to take note, because Hebrews chapter 6 verse 4 through 6 is on this very point, that it happens even to the children of God. Let us hear it.
For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened.
Wait, somebody didn't hear, brother, because that word, impossible. Yes, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. You know who that is referring to? A man or a woman who once was a faithful Christian. Hear the Bible. The Bible uses the word impossible. It is impossible for those who are once enlightened
and have tasted of the heavenly gift.
Tasted of the heavenly gift, that's a Christian.
And were made partakers of the Holy Ghost.
That's a Christian.
And have tasted of the good word of God.
That's a Christian. You hear how God described the word? We take it for granted because we hear it every week. So we do not put the emphasis on the importance we are to put on the word of God. Every time I said, when you know that God's word is being taught here, is it on a Wednesday night? Is it on a Sunday morning or Sunday night? You should line up, because you cherish the word of God. But once we have lost that appetite, it tells us that something terrible is happening. And I've tasted of the word of God.
The good word of God and the powers of the world
to
come.
And the power of the world to come.
If they shall fall away.
If they shall fall away. Another word for falling away is backsliding. If they backslide.
To renew them again unto repentance.
It is impossible to renew them again to repentance.
Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God.
You all hear that? It's the slippery slope that we enter once we have developed certain attitude and take certain action. The Bible says it is impossible. Look at Psalms 81, 11 through 12. Psalms 81, 11 through 12.
But my people would not hearken to my voice.
Y'all hear that? My people, in this case, it was Israel. But application, it is for the Christian. My people
would not hearken to my voice.
It's not that they could, you know, that they couldn't. They would not. They choose not to listen to God. Read.
And Israel would none of me.
and Israel would none of me.
So, I gave them up unto their own heart's lust.
You all get it. God gave them what they want. Why did they not hearken to God? They have something that they like, a way of life and the idol God that they like. That's what they like. And God saw it. And God says, okay, you like idolatry? Them God where you make up with your own hand and worship, I'm going to give you a heart to delve deeper in that. Read that again, brother.
So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust.
You all hear that? Read.
And they walked in their own counsels.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me.
Oh, if Israel had just listened to me. The Almighty God wanted the best for them as He wants the best for us. The only way God can carry that out is when we are obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember, there are a lot of religious falsehood out there. Every denomination represents a falsehood. May I give you a little pointer? If you cannot read of that church in the gospel of Christ, it was not founded by Christ.
Amen.
Somebody didn't hear that. This is one of the ways you can help guide yourself. Okay, I belong to the Holiness Carl Mitchell Church. Well, go to the gospel of Christ and see if you can find it. The Bible says, come ye out from among them. Where were we, brother?
81:13. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel walked in my ways.
You hear, ladies and gentlemen? May I? Oh, Lord have mercy. A few last statements. Doesn't mean the lesson is finished truly. God at first always want to make sure you get this. The Almighty God at first always graciously restrain man. You know why? The Almighty God has our eternal interests at heart. So, God always first work with man in His graciousness by He works to persuade us by moral persuasion. Are we all there? And by legal and other hindrances. That's why you see, even some civil law, it is the Almighty God put in man to have civil authority, to restrain man, that we do not act like the wild animal, just feel we can do what we want to do. May I? The road traffic law is in the interest of everyone. The stop sign at the end of any road is in the interest of anyone. Everyone. It minimizes or eliminates confusion, accident, and death. God is the one who put it in man. So the Almighty God restrain man by moral persuasion. There are some things that within ourselves we know they are wrong. You know. God is the one who put that in us. We call it conscience. And He restrains us by legal means, laws. But watch here now. When the Almighty God sees that we do not want to yield to any of those that He has restrained, that He has placed in society and in us. When God sees that we rebel, are we all there? And reject God. God's judicial and punitive justice step in always. It takes over and let sin run to its extent. Look at verse 26 of Romans.
For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections.
Wait. Vile affection. Affection is feeling. I have to be cutting the lesson right here, but the lesson is not finished. And I may have to come back to some of the most important part in this lesson next week, believe me. But we have to finish here. God does what, brother?
God gave them up unto vile affections.
What does that mean? Affection means feeling. Affection that is vile. That is low down, depraved. And this is talk about the feeling between man and woman. May I? You see the popularity of same-sex relationship in most society now? It is telling us something about God giving up on man.
Yeah. Sure.
Somebody didn't hear that, brother. They must pray. Everything comes. Verse 26.
For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections.
God gave them up to affection that are vile, but people no see that them love it. They have insatiable appetite for that. Vile affection. Read on.
For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against
this
nature.
This is talk about lesbianism. Read on.
And likewise also the men.
This is talk about homosexuality. Huh? When, where and when we see this become popular and accepted, it is telling us something about how God has given up on man. You don't believe me? Go home and study verse 26. For this cause God gave them up to vile affection, that which should scorn our stomach is that which we like. But wait. It is when immorality reach its excess. Are we all there?
That's
right. Are we all there?
Yeah.
When immorality run to excess, almost anything is possible. Allow me to pick up on this when I pick up on the next half of the lesson. There's so much, brothers and sisters, to be looked at, that when God gives up on man, it is fourfold. We're not going to look at that, just giving you a taste. It affects man intellectually. It affects man physically. It affects man spiritually, and it affects man morally when God gives up a man. It is fourfold. We will look on that. when we pick up again. It is the total destruction of man. Not that you are destroyed, you don't walk around and go around doing your business and even think everything is okay. That's why the Bible talks that they think that they are wise and they become fools. That's verse 22. So we go around, you know, and think, oh, look how smart we are. Look what we have done, what I have built, and what I have accomplished. You think you are smart. The Almighty God says, you think you are smart, you become, verse 22, brother.
Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools.
Stop there. All of this is what we're going to pick up on next week. Suffice it to say, God gives up on man when man rejects God and his word and turn to his own way. We beg you, don't permit that to happen to you. We encourage Christians to remember that you can reach a point in strain. In fact, we are going to show the retrograde step that in the Bible, right here we are, that it is progressive. It was around 5 step that makes men reach the point where God ultimately gave them up. It did not happen in one time. It was progressive. But Christian, remember, we can stray, become weak, grow weak, backslide, to where it is impossible to renew us again. Please, don't let that happen to you. We have started a new year. Make a resolution that you are going to stay close to Christ, close to Christianity, the teachings of the Bible this year. One of the points in the lesson, I'm sorry we don't reach that, is the important place that worship plays in cementing man and the will of God. Worship and the passage of Romans deals with that, but that will come up next week. Right now, you can become a child of God. And what we have looked at so far, that we need the will of God in order to please God. No man or woman ever walk right, morally, spiritually, and ethically, if that man or woman avoid and minimize the importance of God's word. When the Bible says, "Oh Lord, I know that the ways of man is not in himself, it is not in man that walketh to direct his own step." Jeremiah there was telling us that we need God to direct us spiritually, religiously, and morally. Today you can become a child of God through hearing his truth, through believing the truth of the gospel, repenting of your sin, confessing not your sin, because you wouldn't remember all of them anyway, but confessing Jesus' name to show that you are not ashamed of him, and getting baptized. Mr. Mitchell, I was baptized, I was sprinkled, I was confirmed. I have news for you. Sprinkling, confirmed was never baptism from God's standpoint. That is satanic way to help you to avoid doing God. You must be buried under the water, uniting with Christ in his burial. Today you can step forward and we will talk with you further. But remember, Jesus Christ wants to save you right now, today, as we stand and sing.